It's a little crooked, though. Have you noticed?
No. Oh, yeah. Totally is. Welcome to the Envision Crystal Clear podcast. And not only is my host, Lisa McGarity, an expert on crystals, but also in style. I didn't realize the crystal I put in front of you was crooked.
Well, it's, you know, Brian, it's definitely interesting. It's an interesting piece.
Well, okay, so it's a skull. It's purple. I want to talk about what it is, but it was gifted to me. So, like, that is really my first question. What do we do in situations where we're given a gift, a crystal? We might not know what it is.
Right.
It might not serve us well. Like, is there a quick way to find out whether or not we should even accept it or wait till the person turns around and then toss it in the trash?
Well, you don't want to toss it in the trash, right? Maybe, I mean, maybe you do. No, I'm just kidding. It's cute. It's pretty. Honestly, I think that when crystals come our way, for the most part, they come for a reason. So it doesn't really matter if, you know, your friend gave it to you, a client gave it to you, you found it on the sidewalk. If it showed up in your life, it probably came for a reason, right? So I would check it out. I would sit with it. I would see if it has a message for you. I think skulls in particular are super magical. I love skulls. I just think they speak to the ancestors, the human condition. I mean, it's one of God's most amazing creations, right? This beautiful skull shape. So
All right. I noticed skulls a lot, different crystals shaped like skulls. Why skulls?
Mm-hmm.
Because for the average person, they'd look at a skull and be like, oh my God, like the Goonies, I'm running. Yeah,
right,
weird.
Right. Feels spooky, right? For anybody who's real curious about this, there is a lot of mythology around crystal skulls. There have been these amazing crystal skulls found in different locations throughout the earth. And they seem to be quite old, and they also seem to be almost anatomically correct. So I don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't have the exact information in front of me, but I know that this is a thing that people are researching, and there's a mythology behind it that there's 13 hidden all around the globe, and when they're all found and they're all brought together in one place, there'll be a transformation for our planet. No clue. I don't know if that's really ever going to happen.
Have any of them been found?
Yeah. So one I know is from Central America. I think that was the one that is the most amazingly anatomically correct, makes doctors amazed, like the exact proportion and shape of a current human skull. But there have been skulls found all over the place. And I think there's just something about this amazing, like, okay, yes, you look at a skull, you think death, right? But there's just also something remarkable about it. There's something amazing, you know, that this could hold a brain and a mind and you know, God's creation. So, I don't know. I think they're great to meditate with. I think they're wonderful symbols of, you know, the beauty of nature. But to each his own, right? Not everybody likes skulls.
Well, that's interesting because skulls aren't even the deepest part of the human. There's a whole level underneath that, the brain and all that, like you just said, you know. But at the same time, it is, in certain areas, the deepest part.
Right.
So, all right, you just got really philosophical on me. But these skulls that are buried all over the earth, somebody made them out of crystal and buried them?
They're mostly made out of quartz crystal, yes.
Okay.
Which is even more interesting because, as we've been talking about, quartz crystal seems to really hold information, transmit memories, have power. So there's a real curiosity about it. You know what? You're going to make me look it up and do more research now. Now I'm going to go home and be like, yeah, what do I need to learn again about those crystal skulls? But it's a cool subject for sure.
It's a striking image. And I got this from a friend of mine that is also into this type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get me more into it. And he just handed me this purple skull. I don't know exactly what I'm even supposed to do with it. I mean, he was very happy. I was happy that he thought of me.
Right.
But, well, first of all, what is that? It's purple-ish, right?
Yeah. I think this is a type of amethyst called chevron amethyst. If you see this pattern in the back of the head, this little sort of purple and white.
That's the odd thing. Like, the skull is almost all purple. The back of it almost looks like a design on purpose. That's not on...
No, that's nature.
Okay.
It came out of the ground that way. So chevron amethyst generally has these white chevron-shaped markings running through the amethyst. And whoever carved this just carved it in such a fashion that that's where the chevron landed, you know? But yeah, I think it's definitely a cool piece. I would meditate with this in order to connect with your own higher self. That would be my inclination. When I look at it, I get that kind of like higher self, Akashic records, alternative selves, alternative dimensions. That's kind of what I feel when I look at this piece.
So I'm grabbing this chevron amethyst skull.
Mm-hmm.
How do I meditate with it? What do I tell myself to right. get myself started?
Well, I would say like everything, I would want to clear it and cleanse it first, maybe with a little sage or whatever method you like to use to clear something. And then just see what it stirs in you. If I were going to meditate with this, I would try to sit at someplace eye level.
Okay.
So I could really look at it because it's the shape of the skull that is so intriguing, right? And then eventually I'm sure you'd end up closing your eyes and entering that altered state. But I would just see what is coming through a piece like this, because I would imagine that there's quite a bit of information that it wants to convey to you.
So when something like this is formed, mm-hmm. well, obviously it was crafted. Yeah.
Yeah, did carve that, right.
But from the chevron amethyst that right. was found deep within the ground at
correct.
Some point.
Right.
So can you feel the energy if you were to apply psychometry to mm-hmm. it? Can you feel the energy of the person making it, or is there like a seal there?
Well, I do think that anybody could feel the artist's energy. You know, I was sitting here, and you're just making me feel like... Here, you hold this.
All right.
Okay. What do you think?
All right, so Lisa just handed me a white and bluish skull.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the one that I handed her.
Mm-hmm.
It's shaped the same way. It's
more
like...
More or less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty much the same.
Yeah. So that was something I did buy when I was buying for the store. I fell in love with it. Believe it or not, that is lapis, even though it's mostly white.
Okay.
So it's just the part of the lapis that, you know, had more white than blue.
Lapis is a protection, right?
Protection, third eye.
Okay.
Psychic development, psychic empowerment. And I just, you know, thought it was pretty. So I bought it.
I feel the energy radiating off of this. So if it's lapis, but it's mostly white, how did it get discolored like this?
Well, if you look at any piece of lapis, like here's a piece, right?
Okay.
You see there's some white.
Okay.
And some blue. And that chunk just happened to have a lot of white. And that's what I think is so amazing about these stones, right? You know, they form in nature. They're all unique. There'll never be two pieces the same. And I think that's part of the allure.
So if you were to meditate with lapis, what would the type of subjects be you would focus on for mm-hmm. a lapis meditation?
Mm-hmm. It's found quite often in the Middle East, so any lifetime or any connection that your soul might have to that part of the globe could come up. It was used a lot in Egypt, in Egyptian art, and so, you know, it could also help carry you to that part of the world. It's certainly, I find it to be very third eye, pineal gland oriented, so you'll have a lot of dreams, visions, that sort of thing. You know, it really depends on your personal experience, but that's where it takes me.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Are there any other shapes besides the skull that are common when it comes to crafts of crystals?
I see lots of stars. I don't think I have any around right now, but or spheres. Spheres are pretty common. This was carved into, this is actually a sapphire. It doesn't look like sapphire, but it's been faceted, right? And it's in that spherical shape. I know no one can see us. I wish we were showing these stones because they're kind of amazing.
I said we should be doing video podcasts.
Maybe
you told me no.
I did. Maybe we should be. I was wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. So I am a woman. I will change my mind sometimes. Yeah. So I think that the spheres are a very common egg shape. It's been said, like in feng shui and in other types of energy clearing, that even one small egg can clear an entire room. So
okay.
that can be a really great space if you just want to put something in a room to raise the vibration.
See, what I think should be done is we should not only be doing video podcasts, but once a month you should be going Facebook Live where you have
yeah.
a focus on a couple of different
yeah,
crystals.
That could be cool.
And teach the meditations
yeah.
that... You know, you talk about, listen, the one thing that I feel most of us, not just me, needs help with is meditation, because especially here on Long Island, the world we live in right now, everything's crazy. It's hard to concentrate.
Yeah.
Would a lapis skull or a chevron amethyst, mm-hmm. what would be the skull to start with or the crystal to as for a basic meditation?
These are two awesome choices, amethyst or chevron amethyst or lapis. Those are all awesome choices for calming down. And you definitely just hit the nail on the head. We have a very busy world.
Yeah.
We have a very, very busy world. Most of us have busy brains. We've got long to-do lists every day. It's competitive and aggressive out there in the world, right? So learning to kind of go within and slow down is hard. But I have found that the people that have the hardest time calming down are usually the most creative and the most intuitive. So it's that opposite thing, right? Where yeah, you're scattered in a sense, but you're creative too. So we just have to kind of plug both sides in.
Lisa McGarrity, Lisa, I brought a whole bunch of stones throughout the weeks. We're going to be talking about them. I came back from Fort Lauderdale with stones for you to teach us about. But if anybody wanted to, especially now at the holidays, come to Envision Crystal or shop online if they're not in the New York area. This is the time for gifts and things like that. So what would they do?
So come check me out at my website, which is envisioncrystal.com, or have my own site too, which is lisamcgarrity.com, and you can find us there.
Lisa, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.